and eat me.
This is the emergency podcast system. This is not a test. Movies are bombing all over the country. They are posing as movies you already know. They may already be in your theaters, your neighbor's home, or even your own. Do not panic. Specialists have been dispatched. They will help you identify these pretenders and defend you against this invasion of the remake. Please stand by for further instructions.
Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake podcast. I am your host, Jason Bishop, and welcome to the most wonderful time of the year where we get to talk about 31 Days of Horror. The 31 movies each of us watched over 31 days of October, horror movies that we have never seen before, and we get to share the results with you, our loving audience who always looks forward to us talking about movies you may or may not have ever heard of before. I'm kind of hoping that that's the case. It depends on the person here. We watch what we want to watch and come back with the results. But the only rule is we could not have seen it before. And hopefully we'll share some movies that you are unaware of and might want to seek out. In the case of some of the more modern ones, there may be spoilers ahead. So we'll try not to spoil anything too recent. But it could happen. So please be aware of that caveat, because shit happens when we talk, and we might spoil something big in one of these movies that you may want to watch. Maybe check our liner notes first of the movies we're going to talk about, and when we kind of get that section, if there's a movie you want to hit, maybe just skip over that few seconds, and hopefully we won't spoil it for you. But if you don't mind it, we're going to try not to spoil anything and leave you enough on the vine going, hey, that was cool, I want to check that out. With that out of the way, with us today is Jeff Omega.
Oh, hello. I only realized halfway through talking that I wanted to do Crypt Keeper.
And then it fell apart on you.
It did.
And Sam Stepanenko.
They sound more like Scooby than like as Ghost Away.
I do kind of like that. I should give you a Scooby snack for that.
Raggy?
Like, oh man.
Oh, that was good. That was a very
far good better than, far better than the Crypt Keeper, yeah.
Yes. Your Shaggy's spot on.
Yes.
Trish is running behind. I don't know if she's gonna make it in on this episode or not, so we're crossing our fingers. If not, we'll try to fit her in on maybe in our own specials. We'll wait and see. Hopefully she'll sneak in on the back door here. But before we get going, Jeff, you showed up on my door just before recording. We're recording this on Halloween, literally Halloween. Sadly, Sean Connery passed away this morning, and then he cheered me up with a Hallowzine. What is a Hallowzine, Jeff?
So usually, for people who don't know, me and my wife are usually known for having a pretty awesome Halloween party, and we usually try to go all out and have lots of fun stuff. This year, obviously, with COVID, we were not having one. So we thought, well, we're both artists, we're both writers, we both like to do fun stuff. So we figured we would put together a zine and drop it off to all of our friends, people who might have been at our Halloween party. And I was actually thinking we might offer it digitally or set up something where you could do like a pay what you want and I'll like letter mail it to you or something. So yeah, if it's post-Halloween and you want something like that, you could always find me on social media.
Cool. But we've decided we're going to share some of the fun ghost facts that are at the beginning of this book that were written by Amelia. Is the art hers too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It is the cutest ghost ever.
Yeah, they're so adorable.
Well, why don't you share the first ghost fact here?
All right. It says, fun ghost fact number one. You can't see ghosts, but they can see you.
Fun ghost fact number two. Ghosts cannot kill you, though they may try, and accidents happen.
Fun ghost fact number three. Ghosts don't like change.
And they probably don't like you either.
That's better.
Slightly better. That was not the best.
Definitely better. I don't know if I got another impression. I don't have any impressions of me, really.
You could do an impression of Jay, awesome host of Invasion of the Remake.
So just read it dry. Fun ghost fact number 4. Ghosts have funny bones. One of them could be yours.
Those were awful. I love them.
And that is just some of the fun stuff in the Halloween. And they've got some Mickey Mouse in Trick or Treat. But the or treat is crossed out, so it's definitely going to be a trick. Banned Halloween costumes, 13 spooky movies, Jokes for Halloween by Mitch Hedberg, more candy, spooky skeleton makeup, and so can you, creepy captions, and even an official soundtrack list.
And that you can find on Spotify. It's pretty good. I like to think I can put together good playlists. If you search up a Halloween soundtrack on Spotify, it should come up.
Oh, God. You could just do a mixtape now on the internet. You know what? That kind of takes the fun out of making a mixtape to me. Just share it with the world.
I was wondering, personal touch. I used to, actually years ago, I used to make a yearly Halloween CD that I kind of people. I usually would make maybe 20 or 30. And I would like make it all legit and everything.
All right. Well, now it's time to get down to the nitty gritty. What did we watch over 31 Days of October for 31 Days of Horror? And it's going to be a really interesting list this year, as I've seen everybody's lists come into me, and it's very diverse, very international, very different, some old, some new. We're going to be all over the place and hopefully tell you about things you're going to love, things you're going to maybe not so much. Inevitably, you're going to find something pretty terrible. We'll tell you about the terrible, too. Sam, you decided to almost exclusively go with Tubi this year, and Tubi has an insane list of horror movies, somewhere around 4,000 entries on their station.
Yeah, they have a lot. And yes, every movie that I watched at the time of viewing was available on Tubi. Every single one.
And there is some real trash on Tubi.
Oh, yeah, and I found some of it.
So your list is something I'm very much looking forward to. So how we're going to do this is we're going to break this up into weeks. Being that it's 31 days, we're going to do like your first date, and then we'll move on to the next person, their next date. It'll be 8, 8, 8, and 7 as a whole. We're going to try to break this up into 2 or 3 or maybe even 4 episodes. So watch your feeds. You might have some extra episodes in the next couple of weeks. Let's start with your first 8, which I know doing this bold experiment, you started on some shaky ground.
Actually, my first 2 were great, and then it fell apart for a while. My first movie was Bit from 2020. It's written and directed by Brad Michael Elmore. I don't know exactly what prompted me to pick this one first, but I'm glad I did. It follows the story of a transgender woman who is sort of still dealing with her transition, and she's going to visit her brother in LA, and she hooks up with a group of female vampires. It's a really great little twist on the vampire mythos, and the storytelling was great. The cinematography was great. And I like the way that they use the vampirism, where it's not really focused on the vampires so much as the characters and sort of how they interact with society. And as, I mean, it's a feminist message in there, but it has a warning about what happens if you take power without recognizing the risks that come with taking power. Really interesting. And it was really a fun watch. And I was really happy to start my, I'm like, I'm off to a great start. Yay. Then I got to my second movie, which was completely unintentionally. I went right into my international viewing with a movie called Blew My Mind from 2017 out of Switzerland. This film is a wild film. Oh, and Bit was a 6 out of 10 for me, by the way. But yeah, this one was a wild film. It got a solid 7.5 out of 10 for me. Just a really great parable on transitioning to a woman. It's about a young woman who is adopted. And as she reaches her teen years, she starts to change and a mermaid. It is, I can't explain this movie. I really can't. You just have to see it. It's traumatizing, which is what makes horror great, is it should traumatize you a little bit. The way it was shot and the performances are excellent. For such a young cast and being in a foreign language, you could still capture all of the emotion from it. It was excellent.
Now, are mermaids in this one kind of fantasy and they're really cool, or is it pretty horrific?
It's pretty cool. because it is a butterfly story. It's a young woman who's transforming from sort of an awkward, angry teenager into a beautiful woman and her acceptance of who she's becoming. And I did read some reviews on it, and a lot of people were really hacking on the mermaid look. I still have issues with how they rated that because it looks stellar. Everything about this movie just looked really good. It's gritty, but there are these moments of beauty, and I was thoroughly enthralled by this movie the whole time I watched it.
That's the internet. Haters are going to hate just because they can.
Well, and we had a great discussion about the difference between a critic and a casual viewer.
And
I suspect a lot of people are casual viewers, and they're looking for something different from their movies than what this movie is. That doesn't make it a bad movie. It just means that it's not the kind of movie you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which moves me to movie number three, which is a bad movie.
What was your rating on that movie?
That was a 7.5.
7.5, right.
I don't tend to get much higher than 7.5, but although I do, I have a few. It has to be a pretty spectacular film to go 9 or 10. I do have 1.9 in the second half, though, but we'll get there.
I'll be honest, I got more than one, but a 10 is a perfect movie, and I can only think of maybe a handful of movies that I've seen in my entire life that are 10s. So
yeah.
It's going to be hard-pressed to find a 10. Maybe it'll happen someday, but it didn't happen this year.
No, and nor for me, but I did have a 9 in there. But again, that second half. This is where my first 8 days fell apart. I watched one that looked like a lot of fun. It's called High Moon, also known as Howlers, from 2019. A U.S. film by writer-director Josh Ridgway. He should maybe take another look at his career choices. This movie looked like it was going to be a really fun Western horror, but it wasn't. It was 5 minutes of Western, then moved to a modern scenario with god-awful special effects, like just awful. The only thing that was any good in it was there was a werewolf with an afro. That's it. I have nothing else to say about this movie.
Oh. So, werewolf with an afro, awesome. Is it enough to make people watch this movie?
No. What's your rating? Do not. This was a 4 out of 10. It's not my worst score, but it's close. But yeah, do not watch this.
So what were the points that made it not the worst?
The werewolf with an afro.
Man.
That was it.
That's all that saved it.
That saved it. Yeah, that gave it that extra point.
You know, like a werewolf, because I seem to remember a comic book called High Moon. I think it was entirely a Western werewolf story. And
well,
that would have been great.
That's why I watched this, because I knew about the comic book. I hadn't read it, but I knew about the comic book. And this threw me off. I was thinking that it was related to the comic book. No.
Just
coincidence. Nope, not at all. Coincidence. Or deliberate.
What year was that one?
2019.
Oh boy, I can imagine how bad that would be.
Yeah, I mean, there were better special effects in the 70s. I don't know what they were doing. I mean, I understand that there's independent filmmakers and stuff like that, but if you can't do better with your special effects, don't make the movie. Please don't.
Yeah, sometimes people's aspirations are a lot bigger than their skill set. Do what you're capable of doing. You don't have to make that werewolf movie as one of your first things. You maybe save it till you're more experienced and then do it.
Or you have a little more money to spend on those special effects to make them a little more suitable for the story you're trying to tell.
Exactly.
Going for practical or digital?
Oh, they were practical. They were not.
That's tough.
Yeah, it wasn't very good at all.
That was probably some kid's thesis project for makeup school.
maybe. I don't know. But yeah, and the only reason I was watching it is because it had an actor I quite like, and it had Sean Patrick Flannery in it, who is great in Boondock Saints and a number of other things. And he was the highlight of the movie. He was thoroughly enjoyable. Unfortunately, he wasn't in it enough.
That's too bad. He gets a bum rap.
And he served the story. Yeah, and he didn't serve the story at all. Like, I mean, he was in there because they got a reasonably big name. He felt shoehorned in.
Yeah, you get a name for distribution. That's what happened.
Yeah, and that's where all their money went to, probably. And that's why we had shitty special effects.
Right. What's your next one?
Next one. Okay, I had a bit of an uptick on this one. This might be the best American film that I saw this year. It's called Prodigy. Well, maybe not the best, but it's definitely up there. It's written and directed by Alex Howie. I can't say his last name. It's Haughey. And Brian Vidal. It's a really great small film. It's about this young girl who is a genius. She is an absolute genius. And she actually has psychic powers. So there's this really great sort of story between the psychologist who's sort of trying to figure her out, and because the government wants to use her as a weapon. And he's damaged because he's lost his wife and child, and they connect. And it's this really beautiful story about this girl who doesn't know how to deal with the power she has and a man who is able to connect with her. The two leads, the actor plays the psychologist, and Savannah Lyles, the young woman who played the psychic girl, she was amazing. And the dialogue was so, so good. And a lot of people were like, the dialogue seemed so pretentious. It's like, it was supposed to. It was very deliberately supposed to, because she's supposed to be this precocious, highly intelligent young woman. I would recommend this film to just about anybody who likes a sort of a good psychological horror. But it does have some really great moments of action as well. And that one got a solid 7 out of 10 from me.
Oh, pretty good. Honestly, yeah. When you said Tubi, I'm like, he's going to be lucky to have a 6.
Oh, no, there's some really good stuff on Tubi if you get lucky. And if you start sort of being a little more particular about what you watch.
Yeah.
You know, I found that just scrolling through Tubi recently, like, me and a bunch of friends collect super rare VHS horror movies and stuff. And Tubi has been adding a ton of them, like stuff that's never been put out ever since, you know, crappy VHS in the 80s. So there's more and more of that on there if you're into that.
Yeah, and I don't mind a bad horror or a cheesy horror, but I don't want my entire month to be that. And that's that. And I was starting to sort of slide into that a little bit. No, you know what? As I'm looking at my list here, it's all stuff that looked interesting on paper. It doesn't always work out that way, though, because of budgets or because they're first-time filmmakers or they're just good at ideas, but they're not good at execution. And that's definitely my fifth movie. Great idea. Execution was not great. So my next movie was Walk Away from 2020, another U.S. film. This is a really interesting take on the whole cabin in the woods thing. Five friends go to a cabin in the woods, but they can't leave. That's the whole precept of the film is they're stuck there. They can't leave. They get a certain point away from the cabin, and then it teleports them back to the cabin. They can't leave. And then it's sort of a study in what happens when you're trapped. And I think it was apropos for this year, is where you're trapped in a small space with people that you're familiar with, and how that familiarity can lead to contempt or even madness. Like I said, the idea was great. Unfortunately, the acting was really clumsy. The dialogue was hit or miss. Sometimes there's some really great dialogue and sometimes there wasn't. Camera work was terrible. I mean, these guys they did everything themselves. Directed, cinematography, writing, all of it. And it shows. There was, however, one really cool shot where the camera went in a circle. It was a single shot. You could tell it was a single shot where it just went around a circle around the cabin. It's just sort of each individual person as they struggled through days and days and days of not being able to leave. It was beautifully done, and I wish the rest of the film was that good. It's worth watching just for that shot if you're into cinematography and seeing the potential in some of these young independent filmmakers, because that shows how good they could be. But other than that, the rest of the movie was just okay, and I gave it a 4.5 out of 10 because, yeah, the concept and the that one shot weren't enough to outweigh the rest of it. Number 6 was another independent film by writer-director Ryan Calloway, who I think has a lot of potential as well. It's called Let's Not Meet from 2018, another U.S. film. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure why I stopped on this one, but it's maybe because Satanic Panic I really enjoy about the pizza delivery girl. So I sort of went, okay, well, let's see if there's another good pizza delivery girl movie. And this one was okay. The lead actress was really solid, and I think she has a lot of future as a possible horror lead actress. The rest of the acting was uneven as well. There's some of them were good, some of them were not. But yeah, it's an ambitious project. The whole idea is this pizza delivery girl is connected somehow to a cult that is, this is such a hard movie to explain. But yeah, it's and I think that's part of the problem is it has a bit of an identity crisis, but it was because it made it fun because you have cults, you have monsters, and you have mean girls and a piece of delivery girl. Sounds like fun, and it is.
This sounds very much like Satanic Panic from last year before.
It does. And that's, I think, probably what sort of drew me in was, well, I enjoyed Satanic Panic. It wasn't a great film, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
This one has things that were better. They explain a lot more about the delivery girl in terms of why she can do what she can do, because she was raised sort of by a paramilitary mother who taught her how to fight and stuff like that. And that was a lot of fun. I would have wanted to see more of that. But I think that they tried too hard to make this sort of a mashup of genres. And what happened was everything kind of got lost instead. I wouldn't say don't watch it, but if you do, watch it with a grain of salt, because there's lots to like, but it's also very forgettable.
I was kind of intrigued by that one because I really liked the title of it. And I'm like, oh, that's already got my interest.
And that's what got me too, is Let's Not Meet. And then the idea of the sort of similarities to Satanic Panic. And it's actually got it's called Let's Not Meet, or also Let's Not Meet in the Woods is the other full title of it, I guess. But it's a 5 out of 10. So it's middle of the road horror for me. It had some fun stuff, but it wasn't super good either. Number seven. I thoroughly enjoyed this. So again, I thought my first week was worse than it actually was as I was going back through it. This one here was called The Odds. It's on Prime as well, but it is on Tubi. It's from 2018. It's called The Odds by writer-director Bob Giordano. This is a really good single-room horror. It's really only two cast members, really. There's some extras and stuff like that, but they don't have a lot of screen time or any dialogue, if I remember correctly. But it's a really good story about a girl who, or a woman, I should say, who enters a competition of pain endurance to win money so that she can offer her daughter, who's been taken away from her, a better life. They give her really good motivation in that sense, as she has a reason for doing what she's doing, and it's a pretty strong reason. The thing I liked about it is they could have easily gone the torture porn route in a story like that, but they didn't. It does a really good job of letting you imagine the horror of what she's going through. It's really, really well done. And you get really involved in both these characters, because you switch your allegiances too. Like, for a while there, you're kind of like her and then you don't, and vice versa. There's some really great psychological head games that the administrator of this game plays with her. The performances are really good as well. The only thing that I didn't like was that I saw the ending coming a mile away, but it's hard to write a surprise ending nowadays. So I forgave it. And that one got a solid 7 out of 10 for me as well. My week wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And then my last one was an Italian film from 1988. And I watched this for one reason and one reason only, because Donald Pleasance was in the cast. It's called Paganini Horror.
Oh, I was curious about that one.
Please do not subject yourself to this movie. I am going to say no more than they wasted Donald Pleasance. Acting was awful. Everything about it was the worst of the 80s. The story was boring. The writing was sloppy. Like, there's just nothing about this movie that makes it worthwhile. Even Donald Pleasant can't fix this movie. 4 out of 10, and I'm done. That's just don't. Yeah.
There's always something about it where there are some movies when they're re-released and they have kind of cool art for the re-release, but in the back of your mind, you're saying something's not right here.
Yeah, no, and that would be this one. Definitely lots not right there.
You think that one is another one of like, we got Donald Pleasance, so that'll get us distribution type of movies?
Oh, absolutely. And when I was first watching it, he shows up at the beginning and I'm like, oh, there's the Donald Pleasance, and I'll never see him again. I was wrong. You do see him a couple more times, but it feels squished in because they got him.
Right. Flew him in for a couple of days and then out again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'll have a vacation in Italy and do this shitty movie. That's what it felt like. I mean, I appreciate what they tried to do. The synopsis doesn't really cover it, though. And I mean, the special effects were awful. The acting was awful. The costumes were awful. And I mean, I do tend to forgive the Italian films because a lot of it's dubbed, or typically always dubbed. You can't really see the original performance, but the English dub was so bad that it was really hard to engage with it and take it seriously, even though they clearly were. This would be a fun one if you were with a group of people and you could actually sort of have fun mocking it. A la Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, I've got one of those that is in my first week here.
But yeah, no. Otherwise, if you're not watching it with a group of friends where you that have a sense of humor and aren't afraid to make fun of bad movies, I wouldn't waste my time on this one.
You know those teen vampire movies that feel like the horny soap opera fever dreams of an eighth grade diary? Here's how mine began.
The graduating class of Central Oregon High.
Be safe.
Oh my god, guys, I'm gonna be fine.
My first night in LA, and it's already the best night of my life.
Hi. We're going to after hours party if you want to come.
That's enough.
Shoveled a lot in your life, haven't you? How would you like to hold the keys to the kingdom for a change?
Now would be the time for any questions.
Were you guys, like, vampires?
Yup.
Do you guys kill people?
Indiscriminately.
Innocent people?
It's like 80-20. Rule number one, never turn a man into a vampire. Men can't handle power.
Welcome to Bite Club.
Bite Club? What about Bit Girls?
Sounds like we're part of STEM or something.
Welcome home.
What, no coffin?
Why would we do that?
Because it's dope.
You're staying away from drugs, right?
Yes, Mom. My life's a horror movie. Life's full of things you never think should happen, and
than it does.
I'm going to be 18 forever.
People just think you're aging well.
Well, I will pick up the second slot here. I know Sam was probably getting irritated because I kept bragging about how good my selections were this year. And they were. Yeah, I have really to curious. Say, I had a blast this year. We sometimes stumble upon unintentional patterns as we go. I didn't really have one. And then I realized, damn, I had fun. I had a lot of fun. And that kind of was my theme, I guess. More than anything else, just having a really well-curated list this year. There was a couple of disappointments, but overall, I was pretty happy with almost everything I watch. My first one, I opened up with The Void from 2016 by writer-director Jeremy Gillespie and Stephen Kostansky. Jeremy and Stephen also wrote and directed Father's Day from 2011, a little more grindhousey type of movie. And the stars Aaron Poole, Kenneth Welch, and Daniel Fathers. Basically, these hooded figures, they kind of have like these triangles on the faces of their hoods, very cultish. Kind of turn up out of nowhere, and then they kind of herald these strange events that begin at this hospital. Mutations start happening in their creature attacks, and it just escalates and escalates. It's got a bit of a disjointed narrative, but I would say this falls more into the cosmic horror category because we move into the dimensions, we have Cthulhu-esque creatures. It turns into something pretty wild. Some great special effects and get pretty gory. Really kind of great way to start out the week because I kind of like weird shit, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Mandy kind of set that playing field, and now we're starting to see some really interesting artsy movies. Sometimes they're a little... they can be overdone, but this one was pretty good. I think it needs a little smoothing out on the narrative, but overall, I really enjoyed it. It was out of Canada, by the way, so support our local country. And I gave
it was way before Mandy, too.
Yeah, yeah. And I gave this a solid 7.5 out of 10 for my personal tastes anyway. So it was a kind of a great way to kind of open up. And I always ought to open up and close with something strong, and this was pretty strong. Got a... give this one kudos. I'm always a little suspect about Canadian films, but I mean, Canada tends to actually be pretty good with horror. And Canada does show up again on my list later on, but I kind of bounce around all over the world, as I know Sam does as well. I'm not sure about Jeff's list yet, but we'll find out.
Yeah, and I actually wasn't keeping track of countries this year. I have a rough idea, though. Yeah, the Void is really great. I saw that in the theater when it first came out, and it only had it played at the Globe in Calgary, which just plays super limited releases sometimes. And yeah, it's really good. I'm glad that was your first movie.
Yeah, no, I think it had been on my list for a couple of years, so I was happy to finally scratch that one off. My second movie was a movie from 2019 called After Midnight by writer-director and star of the movie, Jeremy Gardner. And he was also an actor in Spring and Bliss, which was Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead production. Justin Benson's actually in this movie as an actor. Already, it's already kind of got my interest because I've really liked the Benson and Moorhead movies. I was really hoping their new one, Synchronic, was going to come out while we were doing 31 Days of Horror. It just opened up in the theaters, but unfortunately won't be on VOD until mid-November, so maybe I'll cover it next year if I can wait that long. But I was really hoping to get another Benson and Moorhead one in there because they really like their cosmic horror, and this does kind of continue in that vein, but it's a very kind of a subdued, low-budget horror movie, so it's more character-driven than anything else. And it starts off, this dude's girlfriend's, he thinks she's left him, and on the eve of her being gone, he keeps getting visited every night around midnight, and something's attacking his house. It's not quite getting in, but he's seeing the evidence of it, the claws and the noise, and And he's also pretty distraught about his girlfriend taking off and doesn't know why. And maybe there's a connection. Who knows? That's some of the great build of this. I call this kind of a romantic science fiction horror movie. And it does kind of twist a little bit. It's more about healing from a broken relationship. That's where the humor comes in too, because it's not quite what he thinks it is either. But there's a wonderful attack that happens during a karaoke scene. And I'll leave it at that, because nobody believes him. And then this thing attacks during a karaoke session.
That sounds like fun.
It was.
You made me nervous whenever I see writer, director, and lead actor.
I have I have a few of those.
There's one of my few aborts was one of those films, so that's why I'm like, oh no.
I've had but much better luck.
So pleased with it. There's one that I might go back to, but as it stands right now, it looked really pretentious, and I'm like, I'm okay with self indulgence, but pretentious, no.
Yeah, no, this is far from pretentious. Really enjoyed it. It's not very long, but sometimes it does feel like maybe it's a little too long for even its. What it's trying to tell, but overall it held my attention. It doesn't overstay its welcome, I guess, but at times it's like, hey, can you get on with it a little bit? Solid 6.5 out of 10 for me.
Nice.
Yeah. Number three, I go back into my Universal Horror archives and I watched House of Horrors from 1946. This one was always going to happen for me on this list. I don't think I've ever seen a Rondo Hatton movie before. For people who don't know who Rondo Hatton is, you should look him up. Interesting dude. He was actually a fairly handsome dude, but he had been in World War One and exposed to chemicals like Agent Orange, and it caused acromegaly, I want to say is the term. His features got really distorted, and he became mainly known as a character named the Creeper in these movies. And he's if you've seen The Rocketeer, there's a character made to look exactly like Rondo Hatton's features, this kind of thuggish guy with a big jaw and beetle brow. It's a really interesting what happened to this dude, and it's kind of sad, but it's nice that he was able to find fame in another profession after his heroism in the war. He's not a very good actor, but this movie is actually quite good. It's directed by Yavi Yarbrough, with a story by Dwight V. Babock and a screenplay by George Bricker. This movie also stars Robert Lowery, who's in quite a few Universal Horror movies, Virginia Gray, and Bill Godwin. And it's basically about a sculptor who tricks this guy. He rescues him on a pier. He had fallen into the Thames or wherever they were. I think they were in Britain, but maybe they weren't. Some sort of river, and he fishes him out, and this big brutish man, and he manipulates this guy to kill his critics who've been giving him negative critiques on his artwork. Really interesting premise. I think we've seen it more times kind of resurrected in Tales from the Crypt episodes and whatnot as this kind of idea of killing off your critics. But I think this is well executed for the most part. I was quite engaged. It's pretty short. A lot of the Universal movies at their longest run times about an hour and a half. This one was only like 65 minutes. So it almost does feel like a Tales from the Crypt episode for how long it is. Really, really, really like this movie. Solid 7 out of 10.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes we're doing these 31 Days of Horror. Some of these shorter, like hour and 10, hour and 15 minute movies are kind of a nice breather, because some of the newer horror is really long. So it's nice to get sort of the shorter stuff in there so you can sort of refresh and re-energize as well, especially when it's good like that.
Yeah, there's something I kind of like about older filmmaking too, is because they use the time it takes to tell the story. Simple as that.
Yeah, there's no padding.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could have padded it out, but it would have been lesser a film because of it. Definitely good. Rondo Hatton's not very good with the dialogue, but he doesn't get a lot of speaking lines. He's very much there for the visual, and you see his features, and you're like, wow, I can't believe that's not makeup.
And?
Yeah, but go look him up on the internet, Rondo Hatton, and you'll probably recognize the face before ever knowing the name. Number four. I was on the fence about this one before I watched it. I saw a trailer on Amazon for it. It's called Get Duked, also known as Boys in the Wood, like Boys in the Hood. It's from 2019 by writer-director Ninian Duff, and it's out of the UK and Scotland. It stars Eddie Izzard, Kate Dickey, James Cosmo, there's Samuel Bottomley, Raj Juninja, Ryan Gordon, and Lewis Gribben. It's basically about these four city boys that are have to take a trek into the wilderness, and it's some sort of UK award, survival award of some sort. Now, most of these guys are there because they are being forced to as kind of recompense for being hoodlums, and the other one's there because he's a nerd. This one's really interesting. It takes a little bit to settle in because the Scottish brogue can be really thick sometimes. What are they saying? There's a couple of times I actually just like rewinded. Let's turn the subtitles on. But for the most part, this actually wound up being really entertaining horror comedy. What is happening is these Scottish Highlands, they're supposed to trek across this, and they're being hunted by these noblemen in the area who don't want them around. This award is kind of set up so all these Scottish lords and lordesses, I don't know what they're called, can go out and hunt people. And it's really, really funny. There's this director was a music video director, and there's actually some music video bits put in there as acid trips. And some of the local farmers are actually fans of this one kid who's like a wannabe rapper. They nice. Actually have fan albums of them. There's some really wild stuff in this, and I think it balances out better than I thought it would. Like, I wasn't sure I was going to like it as much as I did, but I think that's why I liked it. I had a low expectation of it, but there was enough that kind of pulled my interest. I think, honestly, when I watched the trailer for it that convinced me, I'm like, ooh, Eddie Izzard.
Yeah.
And that was enough to kind of pull me in, and I'm glad I did. It was very entertaining. 7.5 out of 10.
Nice. I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's on Prime Video. Number five was Come to Daddy from 2019. This was a joint production by a whole bunch of countries, Ireland, Canada, US, and New Zealand. This was based on an idea and directed by Ant Timpson with a story by Toby Harvard. And it stars Elijah Wood, Stephen McHattie, Garfield Wilson, Madeline Sammy, Martin Donovan, and Michael Smiley. Basically, this guy in his 30s, he's traveling to a remote cabin, because aren't they always, but this one's a little more on the beach rather than a forest. But it's a forest there too, to reconnect with his estranged father. He doesn't really remember his father, so he doesn't really recognize him, and Dad's acting kind of weird. It's Stephen McHattie, by the way. And this movie is again kind of horror comedy, but it can get pretty horrific at times as well. Dad's getting more and more threatening, and there's so many twists and turns. I'm wondering how much I can reveal, which ones I can't. But the question is, like, is this really his dad, or is his dad kind of fucking psycho? But there's a really neat twist to it, and there might even be a monster in the basement, and that might be my tip-off. That I think that's as far as I'm going to go with that. But it's always not quite what you think it is, and that's what I really liked about this movie. It gave me one of my favorite lines of never trust a man with raisin eyes.
I love that.
Yeah, but it's very twisty. It has a bit of an ambiguous ending, so you're not sure if everybody makes it through this or not, which I kind of dig. But overall, 6.5 out of 10. It has its flaws, but I quite enjoyed it as well. Not a bad little movie. I quite enjoyed it. I was hoping to get one more Stephen McHattie movie in here, but I had so much going on. I'm like, I've already done him. Let's move on to something else. So I think I've had like a Stephen McHattie movie in my 31 Days of Horror list for like the last 3 years now.
I think so. Yeah. I was going to say when you pointed it out, I'm like, yeah, he's a Jay favorite. Well, and all the horror and Invasion of the Remake favorite. We all love him so much. Him being a Canadian actor and all.
Yeah, I'd recommend that one too. I've noticed like this neat career trajectory post Lord of the Rings of Elijah Wood, and him as a director, as a writer, and just being in smaller, weirder projects since then. And they do seem to be well worth your time. He's got some interesting stuff the more I was looking at it. I'm like, he's doing some really, really cool and different movies right now. Number six, The Thing That Couldn't Die from 1958 by director Will Cowan and a story by David Duncan, starring William Reynolds, Arda Martin, and Jeffrey Stone. This one's a really weird little, well, it's not that weird, but it's a, for 1958, it does feel like a throwback from the 40s. And there's this woman who discovers a crate containing a living head from the 16th century who was a devil worshiper. And he is able to possess people by looking at them. And wants to dig up his body and reconnect his head to his body and continue on his evil devil worshipping ways. There's also a young woman who's a partial psychic and diviner, so she's using like the rods to find water, that sort of thing. Man, the acting is stiff in this movie. But there's something about watching a movie with a severed head through most of it that I kind of dig. That can open up and it's whispering to people. And there's some neat ideas here, but the acting is so over the top sometimes that I'm like, God damn, I wish a crew was here to watch this with me. And that's, I think, where the fun of this movie would be. Definitely would be a great Mystery Science Theater episode. I don't know if they've done one or not, but it should be if it isn't. It'd be kind of wonderful movie to riff on with your friends, but it's bad. Thankfully, it's also short at only 70 minutes. It might be my lowest rated one of the month at a 4 out of 10. But I kind of recommend it because it's one of those so bad it's good movies.
I like those ones sometimes. And unfortunately, yeah, my first few, I didn't get any so bad it's goods. But I do have one, I think, later on in the month.
Yeah, I mean, it was so bad because I was like, I know they were trying to do a kind of a serious horror movie, but I was laughing my ass off during this movie. Don't think it was intentional, but that's what kind of like, okay, didn't age the way they wanted it to, but that's okay because it's still a whole lot of fun. Can't in good conscience give it a higher rating, but it is fun.
Fair enough.
Okay, number seven. Sam, I think you watched this off-season, which is VFW from 2019 from director Joe Bagos, who I loved his previous film, Bliss, and I covered that last year. And this is by writers Max Brailier and Matthew McArdle, starring Stephen Lang, William Sadler, Fred Williamson, Martin Cove, David Patrick Kelly, and George Wendt.
Wow.
It's a great cast. I will be upfront. I felt like this was more of an almost action movie than a horror movie. Almost.
Right.
But it was so good.
Yeah. No, I really quite enjoyed it. It's the bad guy feels really cheesy. You know? But the chemistry between these older actors who were known for horror movies or action movies or both. And then George Wendt. But George Wendt sitting in a bar isn't unusual.
No. Not at all.
Pretty fun. Not as good as Bliss, but he's definitely trying to do something different here, Joe Bagos, which I appreciate. You don't want to do the same thing. Bliss is a little more art house, very different type of movie. And this one goes for the more action comedy. I don't find it as well balanced either. And I could say that about previous Fangoria films, which this one is. This is essentially Assault on Precinct 13 with war veterans.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, he was trying something with the lighting inside the bar, and I would have liked it more if it felt like a real Legion here in Canada, where it was kind of brightly lit and kind of sterile looking, and then the lighting changed as things changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had this sort of that bluish red lighting all the way through it, and it felt awkward for the first parts, but once the sort of siege happened, I would have liked to have seen it switch to that.
Yeah, for sure. Still very entertaining movie, well worth your time, 6.5 out of 10. And I see Trish has snuck into the room here, so I'm happy we're going to get her in on 31 Days of Horror this year. Welcome aboard, Trish. We will get to her at the end here. Now, number eight is We Summon the Darkness from 2019.
Nice.
And this is by director Mark Mayers and written by Alan Trezza. And this is a UK-US-Canada joint starring Alexandra Daddario, Kieran Johnson, Maddie Hassan, and Amy Forsyth and Johnny Knoxville is in this. This is basically three friends are going on a road trip to a heavy metal show, and they bond with three aspiring musicians along the way and start an after party. And we're hearing that there's some murders over the radio and stuff that have been happening, like these heavy metal worshiping Satanists are out there killing people. And this kind of turns it on its head a little bit. You're thinking like, okay, these girls are going to get attacked and it's probably this band that's doing it. Nope, it's not. It flips the story on its head where we got these girls. But I love the hook of this movie because there's no Satanists in this movie. These girls are posing as Satanists to force people to turn to Christianity, which is a wild idea.
Mm-hmm. That's what you need to do with horror is take the tropes and turn them on their head. Yeah. I think we had this discussion via text as well, is the ones that take what makes horror good and then go and then twist it into something new.
Yeah. Well, it's the commentary of like, well, Christianity ain't so shit hot either kind of thing. You've got these televangelists that are just as bad as any cultist.
Mm. Oh, for sure. Especially the ones that say like, give us money and we'll save your soul.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting take on how, like, that's basically what Satanic Panic was a bunch of Christians, like, doing a masquerade of something that wasn't really there. It was really interesting. It was well-written. It was a fun slasher. Same director as My Friend Dahmer, which is also great, if anyone hasn't seen it.
And this was set in a period piece as well, kind of, like, when heavy metal was doing really well. It was kind of like an early 80s snark, maybe late 80s, I want to say.
Yeah.
So, gets rid of the cell phones and that sort of thing, which always can be a problem when it comes to this type of horror. Now, unfortunately, this movie loses steam along the way, because I was really enjoying it, and then it just kind of fizzles out, which is really unfortunate. I really enjoyed the first two-thirds of this movie, but it does kind of run out of steam, and maybe should have ended earlier and been a shorter movie. I mean, it's only an hour and a half, but it does suffer for some padding to get to that hour and a half. And as a result, I can only give it a 5.5 out of 10. I want to give it higher because I did enjoy a lot of it, but it wore out its welcome with me, unfortunately. But still, I think worth your time, especially if you're a fan of Alexander Daddario, who's carving out a nice career for herself, and Johnny Knoxville, because it's Johnny Knoxville.
You know what? When Johnny's not doing Jackass, he can be a lot of fun.
Yes.
Can be.
Oh, yeah.
He's had some misses, but I've enjoyed him in his Men in Black appearance as well. So when he does smaller parts, he's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because with Johnny Knoxville, it's like everybody really likes Johnny's concept, but is there really a movie that he's been in that's more than a 6.5?
He's never aspired to be more than a 6.5.
No.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he doesn't want to be an Academy Award winning actor. He wants to be a working actor. And
yeah, and he's always going to be
doing that. Yeah,
he's always been a character actor, and character actors don't get as many leads, and they don't get Oscars, unfortunately. Nope. Well,
yeah,
some of them do, I suppose. I would call Gary Oldman very much a character actor, but he's one of the best at it.
Yeah.
Well, I think you look at Johnny Knoxville just like as an entity. He, look at Jackass. He just wants to go out and have fun and do things. So, I mean, I think that's sort of like where he is. Like, yeah, career-wise, I want to do something that I think is fun. And that's it. And that's cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, that was my top 8. Actually, before we move on here, Sam, we didn't do what we normally do. What was your best of your week?
For my first week, it was definitely it blew my mind. It was tough.
It blew your mind?
Blew my mind. I mean, Prodigy and The Odds were also quite good, but Blew My Mind was, I mean, the title is perfect. It did blow my mind, and it's a wonderfully uncomfortable film.
Mm-hmm. What was your worst of the week, like we have to ask?
Oh, well, you know, that's a tough one because I had three really bad ones. Because High Moon was awful, but I have to go with Paganini Horror. It was just unwatchable. I can't believe I made it through it. This was one of the few times where I've wanted to abort and not done it.
Yeah.
Right.
And I wish I had, but I was committed.
You were in Texas.
Well, mine
or
was...
Or the American South.
I had so much even keel on mine that it's hard to really pick my standout for the week. Honestly, I think Get Duked was probably my favorite of the week. Clearly, the thing that couldn't die was the worst. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back with Jeff Omega's Top 8.
Ah, the Highlands. One of the purest places on Earth. Hardly a foot has touched... Wait, who the hell...
Okay, roll call. Duncan McDonald.
Dean Gibson.
DJ Beetroot.
Can I have your real name?
Just that third one down there. William de Beauvoir.
William de Beauvoir. What did you tell
him? Told him to go fuck himself.
Oh, nice.
Who are you?
Ian.
I'll meet you at the campsite at 6 p.m.
Here come the menaces, the surprise.
Be careful. You don't want to get lost in the Highlands. There's danger everywhere.
Hello, boys.
Is that the Duke of Edinburgh?
Run!
He nearly killed us. We got your weapons. We're doomed. We'll make a bomb.
Where's the explosion?
Yeah, the whole point of a bomb.
Mr. Carlyle!
I've never seen a murder before. I'm homeschooled. Explode wars,
cause discord. This is our number one case now.
Yeah, take some of these. You'll feel fucking invincible.
Your generation, you're always complaining, always saying you are the victim.
Fuck off, Granddad! Chance
two, chance three. We have to stop them.
Yeah, low, super high.
You won't get away with this.
We always do.
Let's finish this.
Holy shit! You say jute.
Nothing ever happens in the Highlands.
Booyah!
All right, we are back, and Jeff Omega, welcome back. This is actually your second 31 Days of Horror, so I'm glad to have you back with us.
Yeah,
what's your number one?
Well, the very first movie we watched this month was, actually, it was a movie called Night School, which was from 1981, and it's also a video nasty, debatably. Basically, there was a bunch of movies that were super banned, and it wasn't as banned as those ones, but it was still pulled from shelves everywhere because it was questionable. So it's kind of like in a middle ground where it wasn't on the official list, but it still was pulled from everywhere. It's really good. A lot of people say it's not particularly gory, but one of the things that really makes it succeed is a lot of the gore and a lot of the brutality in the movie feels pretty realistic in kind of a toned down Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer kind of way. But yeah, it's from the early 80s. Like there's some, you know, a bit where somebody finds like a woman's head in the, you know, cut off in the toilet, but it's fairly traumatic, but it's good. I really recommend it. It's fun. And yeah, I guess if you like slashers, I'm a slasher fan. Some video nasties I find can be hit or miss. They're just like shocking, but they're boring. But this one was good. I rated it a 7 out of 10.
Nice. And I know you've been trying to work your way through the video nasties. How many you got left?
Oh, that's a good question. I've probably watched, I don't know, maybe 2/3. Yeah, I'd say roughly around there.
Nice. It's a lot of gore.
Yeah, and I'm always excited. It's something I don't necessarily seek out because I'm really excited when I do see them. And it's interesting the way I navigate through watching the movies that I do whenever I pick one that's like a video nasty. It's like being on a game show and they flip a card and it says video nasty and you cheer and get an extra $100 or something.
Oh, come on. I didn't get paid with watching any of my damn movies. I wish that were true.
I would say it's more of a deal or no deal situation. What's in the suitcase? Is it something good? Something bad? We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It was good. I enjoyed it.
Did you get the suitcase with the cabbage in it or did you get the luxury car?
Yeah, I got a pretty good car, one that's reliable, that's kind of cool, and lasts you a bunch of years.
So a Volkswagen, a Honda? No.
Yeah. my second movie, I got It's Alive, written and directed by Larry Cohen from 1974. You know what? It was pretty good, actually. In hindsight and reflection, there's a lot to like about that movie. It has a pretty bonkers concept. This woman giving birth to this demon baby who disappears, like it rips out of her stomach in the hospital. And then the police are after after this demon baby. And there's some great scenes of like, there's a baby on the sidewalk and they think it's the demon baby and a bunch of police pull their guns on the baby. I mean, it was pretty funny.
It is funny. And it actually got two sequels.
Yeah.
I actually have like a collection of them all, and I haven't cracked it yet, but I have seen the remake, so we will sometime probably get really in depth on this one, but go ahead.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's good. That's basically what I had to say about it. The quick and short was it was enjoyable. Right after I watched it, I was like, 6.5, but upon reflection, I think I would maybe give it a 7.5. I liked it. Yeah. Larry Cohen movies are like that. They grow on you.
It's been quite a few years since I've seen the remake one, but I definitely wouldn't have rated it that high. So that's a good thing.
No, the next one I had was interesting one. It was one, like, I go to Value Village a lot, and I go to, you know, thrift stores on occasion, and I usually find some interesting movies. And one I picked up was Cyclops, PSI, and it was written and directed by a man named Brett Piper. It's from 2002, but it's kind of a throwback to 80s movies. It's kind of like a bunch of people had an okay budget that they probably scrounged up themselves and wanted to make a period type slash 80s slasher movie. Like, even the trailer they made to kind of be like an 80s movie. But it's kind of neat. It's pretty Lovecraftian, and it's stuff about monsters in other dimensions, and they like discover something, you know, ancient in the woods, and it's pretty interesting. The whole conceit, the guy on the poster and everything, is there's this dimensional thing that happens, and he's been going around with a camcorder, and it gets fused with his head, and the special effects are pretty cool. And then he has a camera eye, but they do a bunch of like cheesy stuff as well, where he's like hiding in the bushes and his camera eye is doing like a zoom into somebody's window as they're getting changed. And then he's like, I didn't know how I lived without a camera eye before. Yeah, it's pretty funny. It's good. But it's all like, you know, it's an 80s camera. So it was surprisingly fun. I would give it a 6.5 out of 10.
Nice. So was it one of those big 80s cameras that was bigger than his head?
Yeah, it was kind of like about the size of half of his head, like a big handy cam.
Nice.
Yeah. Like one that would take the mini VHS tapes.
Oh.
Then the one I watched after that was Ernest Scared Stupid.
Does that count?
And, yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. It's like, it's definitely a Halloween movie, but it gets kind of freaky. Like, there's like troll monsters. There's like lots of weird stuff going on. Yeah, it's kind of there's a lot of people talking about lately. Ernest Scared Stupid is weirder than you remember. And it was fun. I'd give it a 6 out of 10. You know, it was an Ernest movie, but there's a lot of weird stuff to it. It's like an Ernest movie from a nightmare on Halloween.
I remember that being pretty strange.
Yeah. Well, Ernest movies in general are pretty strange if you really think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're all very, very odd. And that's what made them so special.
Yeah. Now, explain really quickly, try to explain who Ernest is to our younger viewers who wouldn't have been around for Ernest.
Well, Ernest mainly got a start in commercials, didn't he? And he would go into a backyard, and there he would have a neighbor, and then they would have a funny exchange about something. They became really famous. He did it for a bunch of different companies, and it was usually similar stuff, but his, you know, the commercials kind of got wackier, and then he got some movie deals. It's Jim Varney is Ernest, who voiced Slinky in the Toy Story movies. And yeah, all of his movies are really wacky. It's just him getting into crazy situations. He's friends with kids. Like, he goes to space. He's in the army. He's kind of like, I don't know, the very, very American Mr. Bean. I don't know. That's not a good allegory, but he's strange. He's hard to explain. He's like a character. He's like Daffy Duck. You know, it's, yeah. All of his movies are like Daffy Duck movies, basically.
He's that Pee-wee.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, he does a lot of Daffy Duck things, like he'll, you know, zip over to one place and be in a costume and zip back and be in a different costume and have conversations with himself. And there's some kind of, yeah, you know, magical surrealism kind of weirdness going on. But I would say it's like live action cartoon.
That's a good way of putting it. Live action cartoon. That is definitely, yeah, Jim Varney and the Ernest movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ernest Scared Stupid's fun. If you like Halloween movies, like movies that take place on Halloween and are pretty Halloween-y, that's good. And actually, speaking of, the next movie I watched was Goosebumps 2. Yes. Now, when me and Leah saw the first Goosebumps in the theater, we looked around and we were legitimately the only people there who didn't have children. And usually I get pretty into the trivia. And so sometimes when you don't get the trivia fast enough, you're like, oh, damn it. And then you look around, you feel bad because there's like 1,000 kids. But the first Goosebumps is okay. It's fun. But the second Goosebumps is really good. I was really surprised by how fun it was, actually. It's like a really solid Halloween kids horror movie. It made me think of really, really good like 90s made-for-TV kids horror movies.
Yeah.
And
I saw it in the theater as well, like the cheap theater. Yeah. It was really enjoyable.
Yeah, it's great. It's tangentially related to the first movie. They kind of have a little bit of a plot device to make it tie to the first movie. But ultimately, it's a Slappy movie. And Slappy finds a way to turn every Halloween decoration in one city into something that's alive. And then it just causes crazy havoc for a whole night. And it's super fun. And they do a lot with it. And they have some genuinely creepy moments all throughout, which is great. You don't see that much in kids' horror these days. So
Well, Slappy, really recommend it. Slappy is really creepy in and of itself.
Yeah. No, they did a good job. I recommend it to anyone who likes fun Halloween movies. It's definitely pretty good. And it has the kid who played Ben from It Chapter 1 and 2. And, you know, he's all right. I gave that a 7.5 out of 10. The next movie I watched was kind of interesting. It was directed by Neil Jordan, who directed An Interview with the Vampire and Byzantium, which I haven't seen. And there's a woman and she has dreams of a serial killer. And the serial killer is Robert Downey Jr. And he has a psychic connection with her. And they do a whole bunch of, it's kind of like he's psychically attacking her or making her think certain things. And it's interesting. It's okay. It was a, there's nothing wrong with it, but there wasn't anything super memorable either. It made me think of a movie you'd watch at midnight on CTV on a Sunday night and, you know, around October time. And you'd be like, that was all right. And then next week is some Sandra Bullock crime movie. And, you know, the cycle repeats.
So maybe I missed it, Jeff, but what was it called?
In Dreams.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
And you're right. You hit it bang on the head, actually.
Yeah. That sounds familiar to me, too. But it's very vague in my brain.
Yeah. It's very middle of the road. But if you're very interested in Robert Downey Jr. and you have to see everything he's in, then I guess you have to watch it. Next, I have Gothic, which was directed by Ken Russell, who directed a movie called The Devils, which if you can find a full copy of is incredible, but it's you know, there's a lot of crazy release history with that one. It's really good. It's very critical of the church and stuff. Highly recommend it. Yeah. But Gothic is interesting. It's kind of based on the premise of there was one night or a weekend where Mary Shelley and Pierce Byrne Shelley and a bunch of people got together and hung out in a mansion, and there was a terrible storm, and all they could do was wait in the mansion. They were all by themselves, and to occupy time, they would tell each other scary stories. And then while they were there, they each told a really scary story, and then all made a promise that they would write a scary novel and bring it back next year. And Mary Shelley was the only person to do that, but that was Frankenstein. So the movie is operated on the premise that the mansion they're staying in is somehow haunted in a way that it can manifest their dreams, and how each of them has these harrowing events that later goes on to show up in their creations, including another guy who was there wrote The Vampire, which was an inspiration for Dracula. So there's some weird vampire stuff going on, and it was pretty interesting. I liked it. They play around with a lot of horror art of the period. And
I've seen this one a few times. I love this movie. Yeah. There's a lot of opium taking in this movie as well. So that raises the question: is it because of the drugs, or is it because the house is haunted? And that's part of what makes it work so well.
Yeah, it was good.
Ken Russell movies are like what's real and what's not. There's a lot of that in a lot of them.
Yes. And the cast in this one is great.
Yeah, the cast is really good. Came out in 1986, and there's something about a very specific mid to late mid 80s pacing that's in a lot of dramatic films that I think we've improved a lot on in some ways. And I think that in some ways, you know, a lot of Ken Russell movies could use not cutting of content, but some, like, you know, maybe a little bit more deliberate pacing, but they're really worth checking out. I gave it a 6 out of 10. And then my eighth movie was The Shed, which I believe is a Shudder original. And it stars the guy who is eating the hamburger in Pulp Fiction. And Samuel L. Jackson is telling him not to say what. And then he says what? It's that guy. He's a vampire. This is the very beginning of the movie, so I'm not spoiling it. They have a big campaign where they bury the lead that this is a vampire movie. The very first scene in the movie is a vampire thing, so I'm not spoiling anything. So he's a vampire who is being chased by a vampire hunter, and something happens to the vampire hunter, and the vampire he runs through a field into a shed, and then somehow becomes, like, he decides he's going to live in that shed because he can't leave during the day and he doesn't know where he's going to go. It's kind of ambiguous as to why he doesn't leave for the period that he lives there, killing small animals in the community and stuff. But there's basically a conceit that a teenager and his friend lock the vampire in the shed. And then his friend is like trying to basically take people he doesn't like and make them the vampire's victims to feed him. So it's kind of interesting, but I think a little bit forgettable. Like, it was okay. They had some interesting concepts. I think the concepts were a lot stronger than the execution. I gave that one a 6 out of 10.
Oh, that sounds like a fairly decent week overall. What was your favorite of the week?
You know, I'd say for the first week, the one that surprised me the most was Goosebumps 2, because I wasn't sure what I was expecting, and I really enjoyed that one. So I'd say that one was probably my favorite for the week.
And the worst?
You know, the worst I'd probably say was In Dreams, only because it was the most forgettable.
Okay. Well, overall, not a bad list.
Yeah,
not too bad. I think after the first week, I was kind of thinking, well, this is all right, but I kind of wish I'd watched better movies by now.
But you know what? That's the thing. The first week, kind of, you're building your pace, you're figuring out where you're kind of going wrong, and you adjust course in your second week. So I'm really looking forward to your second week.
It's alive. It's alive.
Can you hear me? It can't be saved. It's gotta die.
It's alive. It's alive.
Why are you so anxious to be the one to do it?
It's alive.
Doctor! David's out of here!
It's alive.
Now, nobody knows how this thing happened. It's really a matter of speculation, and I think perhaps that's for the best. After all, if we find out that the cause is medication that we manufacture, and it was administered over a long period of time, well, it...
What do your interests recommend?
Absolute destruction of this thing.
It went down the storm drains.
That's how it can travel the length of the city without anybody seeing it.
Don't touch me. Don't you touch me. They stole my baby. Come on, get down. Did you see it? Did you see? What does it look like?
What are you afraid of?
Get those cameras out of my face, please. I got no comment. That had nothing to do with this.
Will you get that thing out of my face? Get out of the way!
He could have killed you. You know why he didn't? You know why he didn't kill you?
Look out, Charlie!
You've never been exposed to radioactivity in radioactive material or undergone extensive x-rays.
No, Doctor, I told you.
Can't rule out genetic damage.
My department has already cautioned the police about excessive violence. If it could be dispatched with a bullet, or better still, some kind of a gas. Undoubtedly, it is very small, and any kind of bodily harm, especially from gunshots or explosives...
In other words, you want me to sign away the body, is that it?
Well, it's your right. After all, you are the child's father.
You.
Trish, how did week one go for you? Because I know you got, when we were recording some of our earlier stuff for All the Horror, you were having a tough transition into 31 Days of Horror this year. So how did it go?
Well, here's the thing. It's good and it's bad. Because I saw some really bad movies. Like, my first week is definitely my weakest week. But, I mean... It was like building up my tolerance to trash movies really kind of helped, I think, for the rest of the month.
That's awesome.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah. It's kind of like I just got some garbage out of the way and then I felt good about it because it's well, there's nowhere to go with that.
Exactly. Yeah, when then you see some decent stuff, it feels really good.
Yes. It was a tough transition, but I think I did okay. I did okay. It's my weakest week, but it still went pretty good.
Cool. So what's your number one?
Well, the first one was Neon Maniacs. Oh. Because I hadn't seen it. I thought I didn't see it, but I did. Like, I thought I had seen it, but I didn't, so I added it. So
okay.
That's,
well, please refer to that app.
Exactly. But my second one was Dead End Drive-In, directed by Brian Trenchard-Smith. And it's an Australian one. And I kind of clicked on it because the poster for it looks really like Deadly, but it's not. It's a horror, but it's sort of like a sociological horror. Because it takes on a whole thing of like people being like racist and like the premise of it is that people go to this drive-in and they get stuck there. And it's like what they do with like what they consider like undesirables or people who are just not going anywhere in life. Like it's a post-apocalyptic Australia. And so they just keep them there and they give them drugs and they give them stuff. Like they just kind of placate them. And that's what they do with these people they consider undesirables. And then there's a point where they bring in some immigrants to like keep them somewhere. And then you have like the white racist thing coming in. But there's this one guy in it the whole time where he's just trying to get out. He's like, I know it's shit out there, but in here, there's nothing. But it's a really interesting horror, but based on like a sociological experiment of if you keep people placated, you can make them do whatever you want. And it's really kind of strange, but it's very prescient for today's times.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's a drive-in. So what movie were they showing? And
they didn't really
show. Did they have any movie, other movies?
No. Like they showed, like they kept bringing movies. They only showed a bit of each one and that's it.
Okay.
And then all day long, these people get little chits for their food. And yeah, these people
are
just locked in.
Interesting. Yeah. This sounds kind of like a really claustrophobic version of Escape from New York.
Yeah. And it's just this one drive-in. And like the whole thing is it's based on a premise that the guy who runs the drive-in, he gets paid to have these people here. So the more people he has in his little thing, the more money he gets.
Right.
Also based on like the entire corruption of the prison system. So this movie has a lot going on there. It's pretty good.
Cool.
I remember seeing this, but I don't remember it very well. But it has like one of the coolest covers.
Yes. And that's why I clicked on it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is very misleading because it's not what you expect it to be. You're expecting kind of a slasher or horror flick and you get something that's really surprisingly smart.
Yes.
But I don't find it very memorable because I don't remember it very well.
Well, I think I only found it memorable only because of the world right now, which is just terrifying. But yeah, Brian Trenchard-Smith, I went and did some background looking into this because this one really got into my head. And he said, yeah, he kind of made this movie based on the fact that like it was to do with like a lot of immigrants coming in, but like from terrible war-torn areas. And a lot of Australians being like, yeah, well, I mean, they should just go back to where they came from. And he's like, there's nothing there for them. What the hell? So it was like kind of, he was painting a portrait of this whole thing. So it's quite good. And yeah, so that one, I would say that's a 7 or an 8 for me. Like it was really, it stuck with me.
Nice.
I don't know how. Yeah. So that second one was really good. And that's the highest point we're going to get to for this week. the next one is Hellraiser Bloodline.
Now remind, okay. Yeah. Remind me of this one. I've seen them all, but some are pretty bad.
It's 4. And just so you know how bad it is, the director is Alan Smithy.
4. Is this the one in space?
In space.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's 4 was Scott Derrickson actually who did Sinister, even though it was Alan Smithy. Like, so he didn't want his name on it. Not to drag him in the mud because he's a good director.
The director's got Kevin Yeager, according to IMDb.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, it's Alan Smithy. And to be honest, the one only reason I watched it, because I was just like trying to figure out what I wanted to watch. I'm like going, and they're like famous people who've been in really bad horror movies. And Adam Scott is in this one. So I just decided to go for it.
David Cronenberg in that? No, that's Jason.
No. It's trash, but it's enjoyable trash. Oh, I mean, is it Alan Smithy-esque? Maybe.
Out of all of the really bad Hellraiser movies, it's kind of one of the better ones. I mean, it's not one of the better ones out of the good ones, but there aren't very many good ones either. It's like,
well, because
1, 2, and 3, and then the rest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, Jay.
Well, and then the one I covered last year.
Absolutely. Well, and because it was 1996, it was one of those ones where I'm like, yeah, it's that, you know, everything goes to space. Leprechaun went to space. Jason went to space. Everybody's going to space. And
probably
because the shame ship.
Star Wars Special Edition came out around then. So everyone wanted to hype on Star Wars.
Well, I don't know about that. I think they just wanted to go to space. They're like, well, we've put this person everywhere else. Space?
Yeah. I love when Sharknado did it.
Yeah, because, well, that's, they did, they knew what they had to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's time to go to space.
Based on all these other movies, we have to go to space now.
I love that that's a precedent.
Yeah, they have to follow the formula. At a certain point, some evil creature or serial killer has to go to space.
You know, it shouldn't make me this happy, but I'm really happy, deliriously happy, that we had some horror movie that went to space.
Like, absolutely.
I might have science fiction in my, quite a bit of science fiction in my list this year, but like some horror icon went to space in our 31 Days of Horror. So I'm very happy. We've got to set that. We've made that happen now.
We have somebody in orbit.
Yes.
Well, which 31 days is this? Is this our... This
is Jeff's second. I think this would be our fourth or fifth for you guys. Okay, I don't know. I stopped counting after 15.
So like the fourth or fifth version is when they go to space.
Yeah.
So
perfect timing.
We did it.
Maybe that'll be next year's when I do Cult Movie Trailer a go-go. I'm going to have to try to find nothing but characters that went to space trailers.
Yeah. We should do a special on space horror.
Maybe, yeah, somewhere down the road.
We done Event Horizon, which I think is a really, really good
That's
one.
True.
I love that movie. I was a little sad to not be on that one, but that was a little early, but I love that movie.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, what's next?
So from there, I went to Wishmaster 2, Evil Never Dies, because after Neon Maniacs, I'm like, ooh, I want to see him again. And it was the only other movie I remember him being in.
Wasn't there only two Wishmaster movies?
Is the second one.
So there's a third?
There's three. Yeah.
I was about to say, Evil Never Died, but it died on this one. But if there's a three, then that joke doesn't work.
Yeah. Evil Never Dies. Well,
but
he doesn't
I think
really
there
die.
Is
He's
a third.
Just,
I think there's
Yeah,
a
there
third.
Is a third.
I'm pretty sure I've seen three of these.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is true to the title. It doesn't die. He's just encaged again. So that's the whole thing.
Well, that's what should happen to genies.
Exactly. You just get put back in the gem. Directed by Jack Shoulder. And this one... Okay, so Andrew Divoff is really just the highlight of the whole movie. And that's it. And if we're looking for like a thing, there's twins in Hellraiser Bloodline and twins in this. I don't know how I kept getting that in two movies, one after the other. But it's very 90s. It's like super, super 90s. Like really, really 90s.
Nice.
How 90s is it?
Let's see. We have the lead in, tiny like a sundress with a tiny t-shirt under it. Kind of weird, chunky hair. We've got kind of black, you know, kind of jewelry and very, very chunky heels. It's very 90s.
Fashion.
Very, very fashion. It's really forgettable and it's really kind of dumb. And it's just not, it's forgettable. Like I wrote notes, but I don't remember what these mean. It's not great. I would say hard pass. I would give it a 3.
Ooh, I don't have anything that low. That's harsh.
I do.
Oh, I have one.
Oh my God. I think four was as low as I went.
Yeah. I have a couple threes. But later.
It's been a bad week.
Oh no.
Uh-oh.
I can't. I'm actually really looking forward to because I think I'm more interested in the really terrible ones right now.
So that's where your bad movies went, Jay.
Yeah, yeah, I think they all just trickled out to you guys. It's like my curation was too good, and it cursed the rest of you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, mostly
dare you. You made a deal with a genie, and now you have a better list than we do.
I really didn't make a very good deal, did I?
Well,
I wish for good movies and not for things that can better my life in any way.
Well, that's the point of the Wishmaster thing, is you make a wish, but it doesn't turn out as great as you thought.
Wishmaster 4.
Yeah, Wishmaster 4. Give me good movie.
Just like the fucking monkey's paw in the Simpsons Halloween special.
Which I always get confused with the clown one, because I think it's the Frogurt one, but it's not, because I watched it recently.
So what was the next one
But
you
the Frogurt is also cursed.
Of course, it has sodium benzoate. That's bad.
All right, so does it get better after this?
It does, actually. Well, it does, and then it doesn't, and then it does again.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is Nightmare Gallery, directed by Gene Blaylock. And this, there is a horror elements to it. It has a Tara from Buffy in it. And that's sort of also why I clicked on it. But it's this whole, they're trying to open a portal. And it's like she keeps getting these gifts from like a student that's gone missing. But like she's in an archaeology professor. And she's like one of the few people who can like understand the language on this thing. Gets really modeled in a bunch of stuff. But I mean, the scariest part are like some of the nightmares she experiences, which to me are like really along the lines of some of my nightmares, where they're like just emotionally frightening, where people tell you they hate you in your dreams. But it's not too bad. There's a guy who I thought was Christopher Mintz-Plasse in it. And I'm like, did Christopher Mintz-Plasse get hot? No, he didn't. There's just a guy who looks kind of like him who's hotter. So that's just what happens. But yeah, it's kind of forgettable, but like Amber Benson, who's like Tara from Buffy, she holds it all together fairly well. But it's, I don't know, it sort of goes out with a poof rather than like a bang at the end. But no, it's watchable. It's not great. I'd give it maybe a 4 out of 10. That's about it.
That's not good either, but it's an increase.
No. Yeah. It's a 4 out of 10, but if it's just Amber Benson in it, it's a 6. So that's kind of where I'm going.
Okay. So just cut out the non-Amber Benson parts.
And then just watch Tara from Buffy and then just live with it. And it's awesome.
Yeah, Sam had a couple of those. That one actor who kind of is there to maybe try to save it, but it's questionable.
Yes, exactly. But then there's sometimes where you're like going, just cut out all the rest of it. Leave the good actor in there. Mm-hmm. So from there, it didn't improve.
Oh, no.
I watched 21 Days, and in my first note that I'm just looking at, cannot recommend.
Interesting.
Top tip, don't create protagonists that you can't wait to see die. The whole premise is they're going to this house that nobody's ever lived in for more than 21 days. And then they go into like they do this whole thing with like Indians and an ancient burial ground. And it's sort of, it goes into like a whole, these guys are this is their big break. If they can stay 21 days, then they're going to get the deal with whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, these deals don't exist. This is dumb. And and these people are terrible. Like they try and harass somebody who used to live in the house. Like they go into her house, into her backyard and get upset when she gets mad at them. Like, You guys trespassed. You're the assholes. There's some jump scares in it, but honestly, like when you're just waiting to find out how they die, it's not great. So the only good thing is they have a great bathroom in it. Like this is, you know, you're watching a bad horror movie when you're like, ooh, I love that bathroom. Like you're just really thinking about how to decorate your home.
Just George Costanza-ing it.
Yeah, exactly. So no, don't watch it. That was a 2.
Oh, my.
That's rough. That's worse than any of us.
Oh, that might be worse than anything I watched in any year.
I
guess I bailed out of a movie this year, but I wouldn't count that. If you can't even watch the whole thing, it doesn't count.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. I mean, I did. There's one I bailed out, but like, I mean, I feel like a worse person for having watched it. That's all I have to say.
Oh, boy.
Well, I knew we were in for a treat before you even got into describing it. I cannot recommend it. That was your caveat before the description.
Yep. That was my very first comment. But then it got markedly better there, but not great, with that October Built 2, which I hadn't seen yet.
I thought after I covered this a few years ago, that you would stay far, far away from it.
I forgot. I've been having very bad brain farts and I forgot. So I did it.
And did you feel the same way I did? Because I quite like the first one.
I do.
And then they had to try to squeeze what little blood was left in the stone.
Right. Yeah. Hard no.
But better than the last one, you say?
Oh, better than the 21 days.
Well, most things
not
are.
Not markedly much. It's only better by comparison. I think if I'd seen another movie, you know what I'm saying? You know, when you've had like some really crap food and then you have some really good food. And well, no, if you have like something that's basically garbage and then you have McDonald's tastes great. Mm-hmm. That's basically what we're looking at here. Yeah. I don't know why they went this direction with it. I don't.
No, I was puzzled by this thing most of the way through, and it turns out to be this weird little revenge story for all the shit that happened during the first one, and everybody capitalizing it on it for social media fame, and
Yeah, I don't know.
They took a really great concept in the first one and then just butchered it in the second one, which is a shame because there was some good talents involved, and it was a neat idea and a very entertaining movie the first time, and then they did it really badly, and having that same character come around, and even what worked with the makeup effect on that kind of girl with the porcelain look.
Yes.
Didn't look nearly as good in this one. I'm like, why did you change that? Because that worked really well.
Absolutely. And it's one of those ones where, like, if you know, it opened itself up to other people to be in it. Like, it would be a franchise where other people meet this evil. And they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Everybody should have, in that first movie, should have died. Mm-hmm. That would have been it. Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been fine. And they'd be like, oh, and then these people, like, and then just have people like, oh, we're investigating their disappearance.
Yeah. Like, this actively diminishes the movie you actually enjoyed with the first one. Like, you know, you watch a sequel to something and it just makes the one, it kind of undoes what you liked about the first one. I don't want to go back to see either one of them anymore. That's kind of what this does.
Which is why I haven't watched it, because I read the first one, the first House of October Built, is one of the few found footage horror movies that I actually enjoyed. I do not want to ruin that.
Yeah. Do not do it. Do not do it.
That's exactly how I felt about The Last Exorcism. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One and two.
Yeah.
Exactly the same.
Yeah, so that one's, but it's still better than 2017, so it's getting a 3.
oh boy.
And then my final one for the week is House of the Dead, aka Alien Zone, from 1978.
I might have stayed away from anything called Alien Zone, but you were a braver soul than I.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, see, the thing is, it's called House of the Dead. And then for some reason, at some point, they renamed it Alien Zone. So when I say AKA Alien Zone, it was released under those two different titles.
Well, I think maybe because House of the Dead was that video game, which also was a terrible movie.
Mm. Yeah. It's not bad. Every once in a while, like, if I feel that I have really been struggling, I'll just go back to a portmanteau film where there's many different stories. Because I'm like, at least there's got to be like one gem in here. It wasn't too bad. It was, and again, maybe it's because I watched such crap before.
Yeah, I think considering the level you were at for a few days. But having not seen this, I can't judge.
It wasn't too bad. There's one very, very memorable story. I think it's the first one where there's a discussion of, there's this lady and she's a school teacher, but she fucking hates children. And it takes a turn where I'm like, yeah. This is my horror movie. This is where I am. I mean, I like some children, just not all of them. But it really does a whole number on me. And I'm like, ooh, I like this. Oh, and there's one with like two master solvers. Like one guy is like a guy from the UK and another guy from America. And it's sort of like a cat and mouse game. There's some enjoyable bits in this thing. Like, I think it was pretty good. I'm going to give it a solid 5.
Ooh, 5.
I guess it's not a bad way to end your week, given what you had, but...
At least it's a trend to better.
Yes.
Yes.
Unlike mine, where I ended up with a please do not watch movie for my last movie of the week.
Okay, so your favorite from the week was?
My favorite from the week, that's probably going to have to be Dead End Drive-In.
Kind of the most interesting.
It's the most interesting. It's to me, it has all the earmarks of like a good horror, in that like there's horrific elements, but there's also like a larger social theme to it.
Mm-hmm. And there's something about Australian horror movies, like they're just batshit, and there's nothing quite like an Australian horror movie.
Not at all. And it's
I got one coming up later in our month, but they're always a ride.
Well, I think I was reading a thing on it, too, because I needed to know more about it. And it's like, most people would say it's like nobody does post-apocalyptic like Australia. Nobody does. They just, for some reason, they're always in that mindset. I have no idea why. I live there. They're pretty happy people, but they can get fucking dark.
It's the hot climate and the everything in the Australia can kill you attitude.
Absolutely. Well, we're here for a little while. We could die, but who knows?
All right, what was the worst?
21 days. Like you need to ask,
21 days. That is a nope.
Hard pass. Avoid at all costs. Only ever do 21 days if you're doing rehab, and that will be more enjoyable.
Right. Well, overall, how do you guys feel about your first weeks?
I'm looking for my weeks. Well, my first week was probably not my worst week, but definitely not my best week either.
Jeff? And mine is definitely not my best week. But that said, I didn't have a movie as bad as Sam or Trish where it was just horrible. That said, I did bail out of a movie called Night Stalker. Not great. It was unwatchable. It was incomprehensible. It was like black metal, but it was like the speed version of that, where it's just banging drums and low growls, and the camera was like deliberately like a super fast like editing effects and like time lapse and shaky, and it was ridiculous. It was like, yeah, it was not great. And then when it wasn't like that, it was Danny Trejo saying the N-word, which I thought Danny Trejo would save it, but it was kind of, he was like also a police officer, and it was kind of weird. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to bail out of this one. So that one probably would have been a one if I finished it. But yeah, that said, I guess I did have a do not watch this movie my first week. It's just, I didn't watch the whole thing.
Wow.
You literally took your own advice. Do not watch.
Yeah. Well, sounds like my early private bragging in our feed early in the month was well justified.
Yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
I had a pretty good start, and honestly, it maintained all month, but yeah, I felt pretty good about my first week, and I was kind of hoping to keep up that momentum. I was hoping I wouldn't find too many more that were like that thing that couldn't die, but thankfully, that was, I think, as low as I got, and even then, I kind of enjoyed it for its badness.
Nice.
Trish, is there a light at the end of this tunnel?
There is. Like, I don't know. I think it's weird. I feel my first week has been a lot of like 2020. There's just like constant struggle, but I keep going.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was week one of 31 Days of Horror. If all goes well, you might have week two coming in your feeds just this Friday in just a few days, if all goes well. Maybe not, so don't hate me if it doesn't. But we're going to try to get out week two this week. Make sure you spread the invasion to friend and foe and let them know where you find Invasion of the Remake. We're on a ton of different places. You can find us on our central hub. Sam, what's the Wix site?
It is invasionoftheremake.wixsite.com/podcast.
And on there, you can find a link to our TeePublic store where you can get I Survived 31 Days of Horror t-shirts in three fabulous designs right now. So go grab them if you did 31 Days of Horror and you survived it to the end, especially getting through the end of our marathon as well. Lots of movies yet to cover. We'll be back again very soon for week two. Until then, I've been Jason.
I'm always Sam.
I continue to be Trish.
And I always return as Jeff Omega. Ha, 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 ha.
And we are out of here.
What is that? Oh, no, not the beast! Not the beast! Ah!